I'm Karen Thompson, and I'm recording a podcast on real-time information for the AAT. After the main migration to RTI this April, the last 6 months have flushed out several issues which have been causing problems for employers and agents alike. Now, this is not surprising, as you know, any big major project will have some teething problems. But as we're now reaching the point where virtually all employers are filing page one in real time, which coincides with HMRC's publication of a report which has highlighted the main causes of some of the reconciliation problems you and your clients may have. So during this session, I'm going to look at some of the causes of the reconciliation problems, how you can avoid them, along with a few hints and tips of what we've learnt along the way. I'll also talk about some of the generic notifications that HMRC will begin to issue later this month. It was due to be the 15th of October, but unfortunately that has been delayed. And then we'll finish with a very quick look at what is coming up in the future. So reconciliation issues. Well, on the 12th of August, HMRC announced that they'd received feedback that some page one schemes were having difficulties reconciling the difference between the tax HMRC said was due and the tax the employer or your clients thought was due. So as a result, HMRC set up a dedicated team to try and identify what the cause of these discrepancies was. HMRC has now published a report into the findings from an analysis of the disputed page one charges. The report has set out all the different issues using examples that they found between July and September this year. Many AAT members contributed to this research, so this should help you going forward. So to start with, several problems with the EPS have led to reconciliation issues which have involved non-completion of an EPS where one might be appropriate, use of this period figures instead of year-to-date figures. So it's really crucial when you're submitting an EPS, it cannot be your figures in this pay period. It has to be your year-to-date. Otherwise, the reconciliation just does not work. Timing of the EPS returns is also crucial because that, depending on when you submit an EPS, can result in the credit against the charge being applied to a different tax month than what you, your clients, were expecting. So for example, an EPS is submitted on the 31st of May for employees paid on the 31st of May. So that would be month two of our tax year. The EPS relating to this FPS, sorry, lots of acronyms, must be submitted to HMRC for month two on or before the 19th of June. So HMRC's look at the charge, which is the payment due, on the 6th of June, based on the FPS data that's been submitted and or EPS data that's submitted by that date for month two. But if there is no EPS, then the dashboard, which is the viewer that many of your clients will be looking at, will be updated after the 6th of June with the known figures. And it normally happens around about the 7th or 8th. HMRC will then carry out another calculation for month two on or around the 19th of June, i.e. the deadline for the submission of the EPS for tax month two. So then the dashboard viewer is then updated again on or around 20th, 21st of June. If the EPS for month two hasn't been received by the 19th, then any submission after that will be viewed as a credit against month three. If the EPS for month two is submitted before the 19th of May, it is a credit against month one. So you can see why it's so crucial that the timing of which you submit your EPS is so important. Something that many of us will disagree with as to why we can't have a tax month put on the EPS, which clearly tells HMRC what tax month it relates to. But we are where we are. So based on the example I've just described, if an employer chooses to submit the FPS and the EPS on the 31st of May, then the system, i.e. HMRC systems, will assume month two because it's after the 20th of May. So therefore, there shouldn't be any issues. So the key message is to ensure your EPS for the tax month in which it relates is submitted before the 19th of the following month. HMRC have said when they have looked into the EPS submissions, a number of them have been after the 19th of the month, meaning the viewer is not correct according to what the employer expects to see. Payments on and after leaving. HMRC systems are calculating the charge correctly, which is the monies that are due, where there is a payment after leaving. However, how an employer or your clients, or indeed their payroll software treats the final payment on leaving, and therefore after leaving, can cause incorrect charges. So let's look at some examples. One software product continues to submit FPSs after the employee has left. And what this does is causes duplicate employments and therefore an overstated charge. HMRC are working with the software provider concerned, and there will be others that no doubt will crop up through the woodwork that are doing the same thing. Some employers tick the box to denote a payment after leaving, where the payment is the normal final salary payment, and then reports this payment on the FPS, which of course reports the first day of leaving. So let me put that in a different way. Where you've got a final payment to an employee, many employers are saying, well, because this is my final payment, this is a payment after leaving. So they've maybe left on the 10th of the month, but they're paying them on the 25th of the month. But because they've left on the 10th, it's viewed as a payment after leaving. Please note, that is not the case. A payment after leaving is the same as we've always treated a payment after leaving for tax purposes. Misalignment between tax months and calendar months. Reporting pay as you earn in real time has highlighted that some employers are not operating pay as you earn according to the regulations. They are using the payroll run date rather than the date the employees are paid. Now, you must check with your software as to what it does. Some software in the past has said that the date that you run your payroll is the date the employees are paid. That's not right. HMRC needs to know the actual date you are paying your employees. They do accept if you're paying, if the date is a Saturday and you're paying on the Friday, however. What happens then is it means the deductions are not aligned to the right tax period. So when you report your pay as you earn in real time, your FPS must report the correct payment date. So some examples that were found in the review, the FPS contained weekly figures up to week 13. A monthly payroll up to month 3, but payment was only made up to week 12. Employer's FPS sometimes contains 5 weeks worth of information, but payments were always for 4 weeks. Employees who've been weekly paid, the totals on month 1 to 4 FPSs relate to employer's totals for weeks 1 to 18, and the employer has made payments for pay as you earn only up until week 16. Payment made for 4 weeks in month 1, but the FPS included pay and deductions for week 5. So if you want to work in calendar months rather than tax months, then you may need to realign your dates. HMRC's website does have more information on that. So if you're unsure, please, please do check their website. Duplicate employments. Just over 10% of cases in the review that HMRC conducted related to duplicate employments. When duplicate employments are created, so that's when an FPS gives different details for an employee to those held by HMRC, for example, it could be a date of birth, national insurance number, a start date, or a different works number, as HMRC call it, or we call it employee number, it can lead to HMRC systems thinking that there are two different people. So please be really careful to check the accuracy of the information that you submit. Adding a new starter. This is another issue which has created problems with reconciliations. The crucial fact here is that when setting up a new starter, you do not use previous pay or tax details on the FPS, only the amounts in your employment. So whilst you might record the details from the P45 in your payroll system, it's crucial that those details do then not get forwarded to HMRC via your FPS. So if you're unsure what your software is doing, please check with them. It's also important to remember, whether you're using commercial payroll software or even HMRC's basic pay as you earn tools, that you should never include another start date on any FPS other than the very first one. Now, this can cause a problem if you've received a start date and then you find it's incorrect. And it does happen. This is the real world. But HMRC don't want to know about it. Now, you as the employer, your clients will need to have that correct date for many other reasons, employment law and so forth. But HMRC don't want to use it. So therefore, it's important, again, check what your software is going to be doing. Troubleshooting tips for employers. If you cannot see how HMRC have calculated the charge, i.e. what you're due to pay, before you contact HMRC, there are some things that you should do first. Check that you sent an EPS where one was needed. Ensure that any UPS includes only the year-to-date figures, not the period figures. Ensure that you left enough time for HMRC's business tax dashboard to be updated. So this is going back to where I said data being recorded around the 19th month, but the dashboard being updated 20th, 21st. So you may want to leave it a few days before you check your payments. Check your payments to HMRC match the amounts reported in your FPS and your EPS submissions, with particular reference to the tax weeks and tax months as I described previously. Check you've correctly reported the leavers and particularly payments after leaving, making sure they are genuine payments after leaving. Check that HMRC have not allocated the payment to a different period. If this has happened, you may need to contact HMRC.